Entertainment expands your horizons, takes you on fantastic adventures, challenges your skills. Independent media never looked so good. Welcome to a new sphere of influence. Our words mean business. Traditional families are honored, and the American flag still flies.
The songs we love, the songs we hate, the songs we've never heard. What do they all have in common? Music speaks to us in ways we may not realize. Discover how to use what you already have to get what you really want. You're listening to Power of a Positive Playlist on the OBBM Network. Here's your host, John Chester.
And welcome back. This is John Chester and the Power of Positive Playlist. Thanks for your time. I'm going to tell you, this is a little out of season unless you're catching this like in October, but I'm going to tell you a ghost story. I was visited by a ghost the other night. I'm serious. I was alone in my office. We have a small house. We got four kids. You've heard me say four kids, five dogs, and a neurotic wife. And we kind of step on each other. And so I have this small office where I've got a ton of music instruments like marimbas and what have you, just really bizarre. But I was in there, and this ghost showed up randomly, though I might have had something to do with summoning, because I knew where he resided, and I willingly went there. Yeah, it was my dad. He showed up just like I remember him. He had that smile. He had kind eyes. He had a very empathetic, is that the right word? Empathetic manner. See, Dad passed away about 3 years ago next month. And his arrival to me was not brought on by anything like, you know, an Ouija board or prayers or rattles and beads or other mediums. I was playing his music. See, I set time aside in my life on a regular basis. And it's for me to decide what the regular basis is, because I don't want to necessarily tell you what's right for you. But I set a time aside to just listen for music. Now I'll have themes. Like the beginning of back in November, I sat down and deliberately listened to Christmas music. And part of it was the old ones that I know and love that are the standards for me. And then there was a lot of new stuff that I wasn't familiar with. And I didn't do anything else. I wasn't reading. I wasn't Zooming. I wasn't playing with the dogs. I was sitting there. Here, let me show you how I listen to music. I can go on for another 20 minutes, but nevertheless, this is what I do when I'm listening. I'll sit there and listen. I don't even lay down. I have a little area I could lay down if I want to meditating. But I don't do that because I don't want to put myself in the posture. I'm alert. I'm aware of what I'm doing. When Dad showed up, before he showed up, I'd pulled out a song called Red Roses for a Blue Lady by Burt Kempfert. It's an old, old song. And this particular recording is a 1964 instrumental. And the other people in my family, like I said, were engaged elsewhere. They were leaving me alone, which is kind of rare because one kid will come in and want to ask if they can borrow the car. Another one wants to know if we have milk in the house, like they're unaware as teenagers where we keep the milk. I stopped keeping it underneath the bed to keep it from them, but they find it anyway. So I was on my own. And as I'm listening, like I said, Dad shows up. And this was his favorite song when I knew him. My family disintegrated about 1970-ish, 73, something like that, a little bit before. And my two older sisters got married off for whatever reason. And I was alone with Mom because Dad went up to Dallas. My point is this. That was the point I knew Dad. And I was about 9, 10 years old. No, I take it back. I was about 13 years old when he left. And I understand his reasons, and that's not really a topic for this. But something changed in his life, and he got eventually, some years later, involved and had another family with some very dear people. His son that he adopted, this young man that he adopted at the time, became his son and Dad had memories, and he, Mike is my brother's name, had other memories with Dad at that age and different music. My music was much earlier. Dad showed up and he looked like Dad from when this song was popular, when I knew him. So at this particular time of listening, I needed to listen to the old songs, one that were fed to me as a child. Now, most people have these old songs that are fed to you by family, okay? As you're a wee one, you may have your parents playing Led Zeppelin in the background, or if you're really old, they may be Percy Faith. I remember in the 80s, I dated a girl who liked to wear leather skirts. She was a real wild child. And wow, nevertheless, when it came to Christmas, she liked listening to Percy Faith. And I thought that was bizarre. It was just, but that's how we are with Christmas music, because it's traditional. If you want more information about that, there's a show I do on triggers of Christmas music. And it has a lot of good information to help you manage that. So music is fed to us by our parents first, and then maybe your older siblings. My wife, who's an 80s girl, was fed a lot of Zeppelin and older music, 60s and 70s, by an older brother who knew what she liked and who would introduce all kinds of music. And so she has a more mature taste in music than people her age. That's just what she had. So this arrival of my dad's ghost, was it just a strong memory? Well, I don't think so. You see, on his deathbed, I selfishly confessed to my father. I said, Dad, I'm just not ready for you to go. That was 3 years ago. And 3 years is a lot of emotional territory for me since then. And during our meeting, our time together, when I was playing his music, he asked me a question. And a question that has resonated like a bell throughout my life. And it was one I had to, I still had to process. And I've been processing for years, even before that. And he knew that. And he asked me to be aware. And what was that question? You're going to find out right when we come back. This is the Power of Positive Playlist. Thanks for listening.
Entertainment expands your horizons, takes you on fantastic adventures, challenges your skills. Independent media never looked so good. Welcome to a new sphere of influence. Our words mean business. Traditional families are honored, and the American flag still flies.
Ready to feel great? Core Frequency Therapy in Grapevine uses transdermal ozone through a Hockett ozone sauna, combining 10 different technologies simultaneously. The Hockett ozone sauna can be used once or multiple times each week for optimal detox and cellular recovery. Burn up to 600 calories each session. Core Frequency Therapy boosts your immune system, increases mental clarity, and destroys cancer cells. The Hockett ozone sauna eliminates bacteria, viruses, and fungi, and detoxifies heavy metals from your system. Enjoy increased blood flow, oxygen levels, relieving pain, and improving quality of life. Book a session at Core Frequency Therapy today and feel better tomorrow. Call us at 817-382-1499. That's 817-382-1499.
And welcome back. This is the Power of Positive Playlist. This is John Chester. So during our meeting with my dad, who had been passed for 3 years, Dad asked me the question of Elijah. And that question has resonated with me since I was about 22, when I was coming off the streets before I went into a hospital for treatment. And it's a question that I think people should ask themselves on a regular basis. For a while, I had the question on my mirror in my bathroom. That's my hello moment. And I had this question listed there. And again, it's the question of Elijah, as I call it. And it's this: what are you doing here? See, God asks Elijah that. And as I've said before, he's not asking it to get information because God doesn't know, because God's omniscient. And it's the same kind of question, what we would call a therapeutic question, that he asks Adam and Eve when he goes, "Where are you?" Okay, it's the question that a dad asks a kid when he goes, "Did you intend to do that? Is that the right thing to do?" So God asks Elijah after he brings him to the mountain, and Elijah had been wishing that he was dead and had gone off into the desert, and he'd gone through a depressive spell. And I've talked about this before because it's very critical. You're going to spend perhaps thousands of dollars if you go see a therapist or you're in a psych hospital. They're going to ask you this question, and you better be ready. See, I didn't have a knee-jerk response to give my dad. I just wasn't prepared. Dad could do that. He had a different way of thinking. He was a pharmacist, but he didn't have this condemning way to speak. He just asked the question, "What are you doing here?" It brought up to mind the things that a child-parent relationship does, for better or worse. Like, "Did you mean to do that? Was that the right thing to do? Could you have done more? Is that what you want to be doing the rest of your life?" My dad came and visited me when I was a teenager. I was working at a burger joint called Brahms. People here in Texas, Oklahoma, we have Brahms. They're ice cream and burgers. And I was having the time of my life. I was 16 or something, but I was having the time of my life. He sat down with me and we had lunch together. And he said, "You happy?" That's a heck of a question. And Dad, I said, "You happy?" I said, "Yeah, Dad. The pay is decent. They like me here. And the food is free," I think is what I answered. And he goes, "Then you got everything you need." And like Elijah, the question was not because God again needed that answer, but it was to help Elijah to see what he was focusing upon. Dad was asking me this question because he was wondering what I was focusing on. Post-COVID, post-shutdown, post-Pelosi, post-whatever is going through the family, there's a lot of change in perspectives that happen. And if you're not somehow ready for some kind of core answer as to why you are here, why are you walking on the side of the road? Okay, because your car needed work and you didn't properly budget for that. Instead, you went out and ate again. And so that money's now at the restaurant instead of fixing your car. That's why you're walking on the side of the road. Why are you lonely? Because you're hanging around with the wrong people. You just have to have the guts. And that's what this really is. It's not about smarts, please. A lot of people think, "Well, I'm just too damn dumb to do this," or "I'm just not smart enough to that." Okay, that's great. It's really more about backbone. Are you asking yourself the question because you really want to hear the answer? With my clients, and back when I was in the psych hospital working, I had a reputation known as the "had enough" guy. You had enough? Come and talk to me. Otherwise, you're not going to want the answers. And I had to learn that because I was famous to myself, locally world famous, for giving myself the wrong answer or obfuscating or BSing my way through things. And I was not coming up with the right answers. God was providing Elijah with a change of perspective, as was my dad. So going back to the music, the bad thing about listening to the old songs is that music is indiscriminate about what memories it dredges up. If it's in your head and you were listening to music, it will pull it off the very floor of your heart, like raising the Titanic. And when it surfaces, you better be ready, because it can happen in your car, at the church, at the concert, at the dinner table, on a date, when your head is in the toilet. Music can pick at your wounds and rub salt into them until they're wide open. You've got to be prepared for what that looks like. If you're not ready, then it's going to cause some very socially awkward moments. We're already socially tender. We're already vulnerable. Some of that is not our fault. And that's odd for me to say, because I'm all about what you're doing. We're going to talk about a little bit more about that when I come back. This is John Chester, The Power of Positive Playlists.
To the Health Engineer Show, I'm Kurt Duquay, the health engineer right here on the Health Engineer.
Hi.
Hi, this is Larry Kortkamp with the OBBM Network. You know, if you're like most Americans, you don't understand the medical industry. You need an advocate on your side to get the best care for you at the best price. You need Graith Care on your side. Call 469-864-7149 and tell them that OBBM sent you. Purchase time in blocks. You can always add additional time if you need to. Get 10% off advocate services when you mention OBBM. You can talk to your advocate about anything medical. Get some peace of mind. Let Graith Care advocate for you. Protect your medical rights and get the treatment that you deserve. Go to graithcare.com, call 469-864-7149 and tell them OBBM sent you, and get 10% off your first session.
This is Susan Hamilton with the OBBM Network. You know, electromagnetic frequency disrupts our nervous system, causes anxiety, and damages our immunity. Studies linking EMF radiation to cancers and autoimmune disorders are something we shouldn't ignore. That's why I use EMF blocking devices from Gia Wellness and encourage everyone to limit their exposure wherever they can. I decided that because of what I do every day in the production studio, I needed to be able to offer solutions for the people I work with. Go to GiaWellness.com/Susan Hamilton to check out these amazing EMF radiation blocking products. That's GiaWellness.com/Susan Hamilton.
And welcome back. John Chester, Power of a Positive Playlist. I was talking about Randy Travis, of all things. Why? Well, as a music therapist, and that's what I do, we look to music to leverage what we need. And I don't mean manipulate, but music is a high impact emotional fulcrum, if you will. And it can move mountains. It can adjust emotions. It can change social moments and just really change how you are going through your day by mentally positioning yourself appropriately. I'm going to talk about his song called Digging Up Bones. I remember this song when it came out. I was working in a production studio and we were using this song, recording it out to various stations. And the chorus to it is interesting. He says, I'm digging up bones, exhuming things that are better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Tonight I'm digging up bones. Wow. That's pretty good. And it's a good rhyme too, a good pentameter. Also, there's a darker story that goes out with it, where a lady who had murdered her husband liked the song a lot and was dismembering him to the song as she was working on him. Yeah, kind of grisly. Anyway, it certainly kind of locks the song in the memory. So she was focusing, by the way, on the literal and using it to validate her behavior, which in this case was not a good thing to understate it. But let me give you a positive example. I had a client who was in her late 80s and was showing signs of dementia. Her family was multi-generational in the house, meaning they had her down to her children's children. They didn't want to give up on her and admit her to a care facility. And I was brought in to help associate music to activate, help associate music to activities of daily living, like dressing, eating, self-care, and some social opportunities. The family was musical. They had a piano. They had guitars on the wall. I think one of the kids had a drum set, which they bought them digital drums so they didn't have to listen to them quite so much. And so she had music as part of her entire life. Excuse me. After interviewing her family, church members, distant relatives, friends, and going through her library of music that had been preserved since she was a child, I was able to create a type of playlist that the family could use as a mental and emotional prompt to motivate her through the activities of the family and through her day. I found her music in hymnals, piano benches, moving boxes, pillowcases, and love letters. I created a playlist that was a first draft to begin the process. Then some songs worked and others didn't, and we tinkered with the song, we meaning the family and I. We tinkered with the order of the music and the time of day and other variables, and the result was her ability to wake up in the morning and get up to maintain continence, to feed herself and provide some social interaction, all increased across the board. We also reduced anxiety, hyperverbal expressions, which is chatter, wandering and elopement as well, were all reduced. All by strumming the chords of this imprinted music she had all her life. Now, I'm often asked how to make this emotional catalyst we call music more purposeful. Now, please remember, what you're putting into your head now will be speaking to you as you age. And if you are affected by some type of mental issue, such as dementia, you'll have music in there that speaks peace and comfort to you before the doors of the outside world close. And it's just you in there. So this is how I can make music more purposeful to me. One, physical. Yeah, there's the workouts, the Pilates, the walking, the bicycle. All those things can be done to pacing. I've heard from hardcore people like our good friend Clint Fouquet. He's got this, some of his people don't listen to music when they're working out because it blows their focus. That's fine. And that's hardcore. But again, for some of us normal schmucks, we use music at least at the beginning to start setting the pace. And you get to set that beats per minute. Now, mentally, is it what I want to wake up to? So you get to choose that now because you can set your computer, your phone, or whatever it is to play a certain song when you get up. Some of us want a big brass band at the beginning or Megadeth or whatever. Some of us want meditational music. And yes, they make morning meditational music to help gently wake you up. Whatever you need. You know, it's up to you. What works for you. Don't listen to, and I mean this individualistically, don't listen to a positive speaker and if that's the way they did it, think that it should automatically work for you, especially when it comes to music. Otherwise, positive speakers like, oh, I don't know, myself would probably be a good thing. What I drive to Dallas traffic to, all right, so I may or may not listen to certain songs because Dallas traffic can be maddening. It's also what I have playing when I feel emotionally vulnerable or disturbed or depressed without playing into the hand of the emotion itself. In other words, if I'm feeling depressed, if it's cloudy, when I go and visit facilities, and if it's cloudy out, if it's raining, oh my gosh, it's like waking the dead. There are people that are just, you know, they don't want to get involved because the barometric pressure and the low lights and things like that. So I don't want to play into that. I want to help wake them up. So is it what I want to focus to? Sometimes music provides a focus or can distract. I have to study on the focus because that's what I want, unless there's something happening to where I need to be distracted. I don't mean to play it both sides here, but there are some things in life you need to focus on and other things you need to not focus on and be distracted from. Now, is it what I want to study to? Okay, that's a type of focus. Study music is different than focus music. And you'd have to find out what the difference is for yourself, for you. now is what I want to de-escalate to and what I choose to believe in. And then there's spiritual of what you want to pray to, what you want to meditate to, what I want to prepare to church for. All these things have processes that you have to be ready for. Music can do that. Until then, you get to make up your own ghost story and experience it. My name is John Chester. This is the Power of Positive Playlists.
You've been listening to Power of a Positive Playlist with music therapist and life coach John Ivor Chester on the OBBM Network Podcast. Get the OBBM Network Podcast on demand in podcast directories everywhere. For more insight or to book John for speaking or hire John for your therapeutic environments, go to ivorchester.com.